Did y'all have a better table than last week's? Yeah, I know, right? Funny guy over there had to break the table last week. Y'all doing all right today? Jesus still reigns and the crappie are still biting, which is a good thing. And I'm really, really, really excited. I mean, I kind of woke up kind of sleepy, not feeling the best. And then and I got here and I'm, you know, just looking at my sermon, just praying over it. And then Heidi sends me a text, and she says that somebody killed a doe this morning and wants to give it to me. And they say they go clean it and gut it, so that means I got more backstrap and loins and jerky. I'm kind of fired up right now, all right? I'm feeling good today. So one more announcement for you all. Now, today is going to be the Fritz's Adventure. And we've been praying like crazy. It was just beautiful just to see everybody praying for this event, everybody praying for souls to get saved, for lives to be changed, for strongholds will be broken forever. I love that. And it's incredible that God is going to use our hands and feet to do so. So for everybody that signed up to volunteer or wants to volunteer, we need you there at Fritz's no later than 3:30. No later than 3:30. And please wear your red MBF shirts. If you don't have one, then we'll get one to you. So again, be 3:30. You'll get the assignments and everything there and wear your MBF shirts. If you ain't got one, we go get you one. Y'all cool with that? Oh, I'm looking forward to that tonight. Now, we're going to go to week 3 of this Christmas, My Christmas Playlist sermon with a sermon series with a really incredible song. A song that many of you are probably wasn't expecting to do, but I'm doing what God wants me to do, so we're going to do with that. And so the writers and performers of this week's Christmas song called for two different types of peace. Two different types of peace. And the first type of peace, it calls for the immediate ceasing of violence or of war, of fighting. I mean, we want to completely cease it, to stop it. They see all of the fighting going on, and they're calling for peace to cease that. The author notices all of the chaos that's plaguing the world, and challenges everybody who listens to stop this violence immediately. Now, take note of this, y'all. This call for peace has to do with negative external circumstances. Negative external circumstances. I mean, circumstances a lot of the times that's beyond our grasp. You know, we look out our windows, we look on the TV, and we go out in the towns, and we see all of this negative stuff is happening. Now, the author of this song is calling to stop all of that type of violence. Now, the second type of peace is a little bit more personal, all right? It has to do with a little bit more with yourself. It's your choice. It's your choice, your response with all of the chaos that's going on. It has to do with an inward balance, a sense of tranquility in the midst of chaos. And so the first type of peace, it calls for an immediate stop for the violence. But let's say that violence still continues. You can still have peace while the craziness, the chaos, the violence, the war is still going on. Now, but that's an inward sense of peace. It's how you respond to everything that's going on. Now, the Bible calls this type of peace irene, irene. In 1971, you all, John Lennon and Yoko Ono, they wrote this song during two major conflicts. They're calling for peace during two major conflicts. The first conflict was America's second longest war next to the war in Afghanistan. You all, this is the Vietnam War. Now, the Vietnam War, by many historians, is considered, you know, the only war that U.S. has ever lost. I mean, even to this day, in 2017, it remains a really controversial topic. And so now seeing the negative effects domestically seeing the negative effects that was happening on domestic land in the U.S. about the chaos that was going on in foreign soil, they saw how divisive it made the United States, how chaotic it made the United States about what's going on foreign soil. Now, the other major conflict, you all, is the civil rights movement. African Americans faced political and social injustice for hundreds of years, and thank God during the civil rights movement that many people from all colors, all creeds, all backgrounds fought, you know, to get rid of these social and political injustices. However, they were met with heavy opposition. Seeing how divisive this war was causing everybody to be during that time, John and Yoko, his wife Yoko, they locked themselves in a hotel room and they wrote this song. In promoting even more racial diversity, they were in New York City, and promoting more racial diversity, they got the Harlem Community Children's Choir to add to their vocals. Y'all, oh, I love this song, one of my favorite songs of all time. And thousands and thousands of artists sings today, and it's one of our popular Christmas songs. The song is called Happy Christmas or War is Over. So let's sing this song.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, new one just begun. So this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear one, old and the young. So this is Christmas, for we can fall strong. The huge and the poor one, this world is so wrong. And so happy Christmas, for black and for white, for yellow and red ones, let's stop on the fight. Yeah.
Merry, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year older, a new one just begun. Yeah, so happy Christmas, we hope you have fun.
Without any fear,
yeah. War is over if you want it. War is over now. War is over.
Amen.
Love that song. Now, you heard in that song, war is over, war is over. Now, as Christians, sometimes have you thought, if you're anything like me, and I'm asking you, like, have you thought, like, how can this war be over? I mean, how can this war be over? And when I'm talking about war, this world, this war is over. I mean, is God really in control, and will evil actually be crushed and evil will not prevail? For Christians, like, how is that so when there's so much evil present in our world right now? I mean, have you all seriously thought about that? I mean, you turned on the TV and you see this is just current, the slave trade that's going on in Libya. I mean, the actual buying and selling of human people that's going on in Libya right now. I mean, the sex trafficking where we once thought that it was on foreign soil, but it's here, alive and well in the United States. The race wars that's happening in the United States right now. The shootings in Florida and Texas and South Carolina and Connecticut and Paris and all over the world. All of this violence. The drama that's happening in North Korea right now. I mean, you name it. You pick your poison. And that's just the stuff that we read on the news. You think about the war that's going on in your life currently right now. The war that exists in your family. The war that exists, you know, in your job. Doesn't it seem like sometimes that all of this evil is prevailing? All of this evil has the upper hand? I mean, am I the only one who actually think about that sometimes? It's so hard to look at the news and convince myself that God is actually in charge. Like the war is indeed not over, but it's alive and well. Are y'all with me this morning? I mean, am I the only one who thinks about that? You know, and how can one not think about this? It's completely natural. Is God really in control? Do we Christians actually have the victory in the midst of all of this evil that looks like it seems to be prevailing and have the upper hand? Now, in Psalm 73, ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist experienced the exact same thing. So it's all right to feel this way. Now, but you are not called to live in that. And so you all, we're going to dive in into Psalms 73 right now. Y'all cool with that? Y'all here? Y'all with me? All right then. All right. So let's read it. No doubt about it. Now, we're going to meet I love the Message's translation in that. It really breaks it down, and we're going to read it from there, all right? So this is the Message's translation in Psalm 73. No doubt about it, God is good. Good to good people, good to the good-hearted, but I nearly missed it. Missed seeing his goodness. I was looking the other way, looking up to the people at the top, envying the wicked who have it made, who have nothing to worry about. Not a care in the whole wide world. You see, the psalmists, you know, they're not looking at the goodness of God, the presence of God, not paying attention to that, but they're paying attention of all of God's enemies and how the evil seems to prevail. He's focusing his attention on that. Have you all ever experienced that before? Pretentious with arrogance. They wear the latest fashions in violence, pampered and overfed, decked out in silk bowls of silliness. They jeer using words to kill. They bully their way with their words. They're full of hot air, loud mouths, disturbing the peace. I mean, they gloat about it. They gloat about being evil. I mean, they bully people with words. I mean, they walk all over the people. You know, they clothe themselves in violence. It's like they're proud to have this identity of being enemies of God and enemies to his people. The psalmist here, he's seeing that. people and actually listen to them. Can you believe that they even have an audience? Here we are on Sunday delivering the good news of the gospel, news that would change their lives, change their eternity forever. Here we are compelling others to give to one another, to be the body, to be together, to be a family. And we are just looking for opportunities to get folks here or get folks to Fritz's or get people in our house or whatever. And we're screaming for an audience. We're praying for an audience. And here these men and women are just willy-nilly talking about just evil things. And you have people listening to them. They have an audience who's joining into them. And not only are they have an audience, check this out, y'all. Can you believe it? Like thirsty puppies, they lap up the words. Like thirsty puppies, they hear the evil that's coming from these men and women, and they just lap up their words. They accept their words. You know, they hang by their words. Like thirsty puppies, they lap up their words. What's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the store. The wicked get by with everything. They have it made, piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. Have you all ever felt that before? You mean to tell me, you know, I'm just going to sit here and let my boss just talk to me like a dog? Or you mean to tell me that I'm just going to sit here and let somebody gossip about me? I'm going to let somebody slander my name, and I'm supposed to turn the other cheek? I'm supposed to forgive these men and women? Have you all, you know, they say all the time, hindsight is 20/20. I've experienced this with other folks that, you know, you're driving and somebody tells you you're number one with an alternative finger, and you know, you just look by and you're like, and you keep on rolling. But then you think about it like a couple hours later, and you were like, man, I wish I would have followed that car when they pulled up to the store and just gave them an earful. Have you all ever experienced that before? I do that with my wife. I mean, well, not give her, you know, tell her she's number one, but, you know, but sometimes, like, we're having an argument, and I behave, the one of the few times I behave like God wants me to do, you know, how God wants me to, and then I sit back and thinking about it. Oh, I should have never had it by seeing this. Oh, now, God, you make me remember what she did last week. Oh, I should have brought that up. You know? And sometimes we feel like we're stupid for obeying God's word. Don't tell me I'm the only person that does that. Is God out to lunch? Like, God, all of this evil is happening. How come you just didn't have that lady's finger to completely fall off? Like, are you out to lunch? All I'm doing is trying to drive to a meeting, you know, to uplift your name. Seriously, God? Are you out to lunch? I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? A long run of bad luck. Sometimes doesn't it feel like whenever you obey God, it's just bad luck? Now, somebody told me this. Bruce Morgan, my old boss, he says, now, you're called to be a servant, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, you know you're a servant when other people start treating you like one. Oh, that's no fun, you know? A long run of bad luck. That's what? A slap in the face every time I walk out the door. If I had given in and talked like this, if I'd given in to it, if I said, forget this, God, all right, I'm about to start acting like the word. I'm about to let everybody have it. I mean, somebody, hey, Richard, you shut up. You know, I'm about to let everybody have it today, you know? But if I had given in to like that, I would have betrayed your dear children. And so sometimes we even feel trapped. Like, God, I can't behave like that because if I do behave like that, the people that you gave me influence, you know, in my sphere of influence, they would look at me like I'm betraying them and I'm betraying God. So even the people that I run with, I can't do that, you know? Next slide. Still, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache. Y'all, we've all felt this way. We all wonder why God doesn't lay the hammer on his enemies. And our, which are our enemies as well. But this is so beautiful about Psalm 73. He didn't live in that moment. Something changed. Something switched gears. That's not the end of the passage. Our story, Christians, doesn't end with bad news. It doesn't end about the afflictions we have to face, the afflictions we endure by God's enemies, by our enemies. That's not the end of the story. It changes at verse 17. And let's read verse 17. It says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. Until I went in the sanctuary of God, until I acknowledged God's presence, until I realized where I was, my position with him. Once I did that, God sort of illuminated my heart. I kind of wised up a little bit. And I discerned their end. And then, you know, a little bit later on in Psalm 73, after he said that I discerned their end, there is scripture after scripture about how the enemies, how their ultimate fate is going to be destruction, how they will fail in everything that they do. Even though it looks like that they're prevailing, even as they're smiling, even after they're getting all of this stuff and they're feeling all good, it's sadly in vain. It's not true happiness because they will fail. God reminded the psalmist that, hey, they may be good right now, but they're not good at all. They're enemies of me. Right here, he enters the presence of the Lord and understands the fate of God's enemies, of our enemies, and his current position. He talks about the unfortunate fate of his enemies and concludes with this, you all. He concludes it with this. After he talks about all of the bad stuff that's going to happen, he says this. He says, let's go back. Whom have I in heaven but you? Whom do I have in heaven but you? I mean, out of all of this stuff, out of all of these things that may bring me temporary happiness, of all of the riches, of all of these beautiful things that are perishable here on earth, who do I have in heaven but you? Like, all of this stuff does not matter. It's all about my relationship with you. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. How do we get peace, men and women? We have to be in the presence of God and let him illuminate our hearts to the peace that we actually have. Not the peace that we're gonna have, but the irene, the inward peace in the midst of chaos. The, I got you, son. I got you, daughter. Y'all understanding me? Are y'all following me, ladies and gentlemen? You see, when this happens, now this is huge. When this happens, we acknowledge the everlasting, and you know, this isn't a temporary presence of God. When we do this, we acknowledge the everlasting presence of God. He will remind us who we are in Christ. He will remind us whose we are in Christ, where we currently are in Christ, and where we will be with Christ. When you go into the presence, let me repeat that. Once you go into the presence of God, he will remind you who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? The word tells us that we're a holy priesthood. The word tells us that we're a city set on a hill. The word tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, the word tells us that we are the body of Christ. And God will remind us how important we are, who we are. Also, God will tell us whose we are. The word says that we are a people for God's own possession. The word says that we are created in his image. Like, we are his. We are his children. We are his elect. The author of the universe takes possession of you. And I don't know about you, but if something is mine, it's mine. It's like, so if anybody else tried to take what's mine, I am going to fight. I'm going to claw. I'm going to scream. I'm going to do whatever I take, you know, whatever it takes to protect what's mine. That's exactly who you are in Christ. You are Christ. You know, you're God's possession. And so that means he's doing everything to protect him and, you know, his possession, which is you. So that means that God does everything to protect you. Y'all understand that? Nobody. The word says that nobody can pluck us out of his hands. We are, you know, he reminds us where we currently are in Christ. Where we currently are. Do you know where you are? The word says the meek will inherit the earth, you know? All of these spiritual blessings are bestowed upon us. That's where we are, you all, and where we will be. One day we will be in heaven. We will be with Jesus Christ forever. Like, do you all remember that? Do you all realize that, you know? Saints, lean on this simple truth, this very simple truth. The war is over. We have the victory. So enjoy the sweet nectar of God's fruit, which is peace. You have the victory. Saints, we no longer have to walk with our heads all the way down. We no longer have to look like, oh man, you know, we're just beat up. This is just another tough situation after another tough situation after another tough situation. Like, do you know what swag you get because of the victory that you possess? Yes? We have any athletes in here? All right, so there was a, there are two different teams back in my high school that I know every single time we play them in any sport. Basketball, football, baseball, staring contest, it don't matter what it was, I knew that we were going to win. Every time. And seriously, from the time that I can think from middle school all the way to I graduated high school, we destroyed them in everything, you know? Y'all know, I mean, the teams that you invite to be on your homecoming, you know, the teams you know you're going to kill. I went to SBU, so we weren't that good at first. We was on everybody's homecoming. I'm like, why is this somebody's homecoming in this week one? It's opening up football season. Somebody's homecoming already, you know? But anytime that we played Chaffee, boy, I said it, you know? Anytime we played Chaffee, anytime we played Scott City, anytime we played Delta C7, anytime we played Zenith, man, I'm about to score 27 points today. Man, I'm about to have 150 yards rushing. I'm about to hit 4 sacks today. I had a swag that you couldn't, I mean, this is before I was bald, you know, that day. I'm like, man, I'm going to give me a fresh new haircut and everything, you know. I'm going to look good for this win, you know. And I had a boldness and I had a confidence because the victory I know that I was going to get. Now, we could have easily lost those games. Something could have happened, you know. Christ could have came back and they could have beat us, you know. But you think about the victory that you have right now. That because of that victory, you should walk with the boldness. You should walk with the swag. You should walk with the confidence. Why do we put our heads down when we know the outcome of the game? Y'all understand that? Believers, stick your chest out. Know that you have the victory, that the war is over. It has nothing to do with you, but what Christ has done on your behalf. Take possession of your victory. You are alive and well. Act like it, you know? Man, y'all gonna make me preach today. Did you know the devil can't take anything away from you that you don't actively give him? I'm about to get excited right here. What does that tell you about your strength? You think about the devil right now. Look at all the evil that's going on in the world. Look at all of his followers. I bet you the devil's Twitter account would be just booming out of everybody's, you know? Look at all the followers he got. Look at all this evil that looks like, that seems like it's prevailing in the world right now. And you have to actively give him something for him to take possession of it. He can't steal it. So this is what you need to do. Some of you all came into this building and you're robbed of your joy. Why? Why would we give that to the enemy? Why? Of your happiness, of your security. Why would we give that to him? So what do we need to do, y'all? When the enemy attempts to come into your camp and steal, your peace, something that God has given you that's rightfully yours, you breathe scripture at him. Now, the word tells us that all scripture is God breathed, which is his word. Use his word to crush Satan's attempts to steal your stuff. You better get all Philippians 4 on him. And so when the devil comes to try to steal your stuff, you look at him, you say, bruh, I ain't anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, I'm going to let my request, not something that's mine, my possession, I'm going to let my request be known, made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You won't even know how much peace that you have in the midst of all of this chaos. It surpasses all of your understanding. When you do that, that peace will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. It will guard it. You, after all of this stuff is happening, that peace comes through and that peace goes, I got your heart and I got your mind. Jesus is the best offensive lineman ever. Whenever anything comes, he's pushing it out the way. It's guarding it. But don't let it stop there, men and women. Don't let it quit there. You keep going. You keep going on this Philippians 4. And you think about this stuff. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about them constantly, over and over and over again. And what have you and what you have learned and received and heard in me? The things that you heard me teach, the things you've heard Dennis teach and Rachel teach and Josh teach and Brian Duvall teach, your small group leaders and Froggy and Jeff Combs and Chris Goodman, whatever you heard them teach, you do what, men and women? It says in the Philippians 4, you practice these things. So you think about them constantly and then you practice them. And then the peace of God will be with you. That peace that is saturated in Christ's blood. That war that was going on, the war which is, the war between God and man. You once were enemies of God. And Jesus stepped through and he won that war between you and God. Jesus looked death directly in the face. Absorbed his blows, took death on the chin, died, but showing that he's completely God, rose from the grave, defeated death, making it available for us to be with God forever. That's the peace that you have. But you notice in the song, it said, war is over if you want it. The war is over, men and women. But you have to take possession of it. You have a choice. God blessed you with free will. The war is indeed over, men and women. But you got to do something about it. You're going to have to take possession of it. Do not let the enemy rob you of what's rightfully yours. This joy, this peace, amen? I'm going to end with this in Romans 8, 31 through 39. Probably one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. It says this. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with this graciously give us all things? Is it up there? There we go. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Nobody can bring a charge against God's people. Nobody can say, look how wrong, look what they did wrong, look what they thought, look what they just did, look at how they behaved. Nobody can say that against God's elect. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Jesus is at the right hand of God, speaking on your behalf. There's nothing more beautiful than somebody to advocate for you. Nothing more beautiful than that. When a brother and sister is saying, like, look, I vouch for this person. And especially when you got somebody in power to vouch for you. You have the creator of the world, the person that made it available that for Christ, you know, for you and God to be together. He reconciled, you know, the ministry of reconciliation. He made it available to us, and he's interceding, speaking on your behalf to God the Father. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, this is where it gets really icky. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors. Men and women, you are more than conquerors. You are warriors that already have the victory. Stick out your chest and start acting like it. You're more than conquerors. Next slide. For I am sure, he concludes it with this, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present or things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no amount of violence that's going on in this day. There are no amount of people who are against you. There is no racial barrier. There is nothing that can separate you from the from the love of Jesus Christ. There's nothing. He is with you forever, and he's madly in love with you. And there's nothing that the enemy can do or you can do to separate yourself from that. That war is over and gone, done with. So accept it. Let's start acting like it. Amen? God's madly in love with you. Madly in love with you. Take possession of that war. Anybody, do we have that picture up there? No? Yes. Y'all see that picture? That happened. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 1941. Was that VJ Day? 1941. If I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken, but 45, thank you, 1945. Now, this sailor, you know, he was madly in love with this, with this girl. And so, he was home for leave, and he wanted to take her out. So he took her out, and they had lunch somewhere, and then they had, he took her to like a theater. So they're watching the movie. And then the movie was like came to a screeching halt. Somebody ran inside of the movie theater in New York City and they said, "The war is over. The war is over. The Japanese surrendered. It's over." And so they all the lights turned on and they cut off the movie, and the entire theater erupted in laughter and joy. They were dancing and they were singing. And so, you know, the sailor, he got up and he took his girlfriend out and he went out there, and he was in the middle of Times Square, and Times Square looked like a huge block party because everybody was rejoicing because the war was over. The Japanese surrendered. Like the bloodiest war ever came to an end. And they were excited about it. And so this sailor, what he did, now this is funny, many of y'all might not know this. He grabbed this complete stranger. He was on a date. He grabbed this complete stranger who was a dental hygienist. It was like what I did to Heidi whenever I first met her. I'm like, the war is over, baby. Mwah! You know, somebody snagged a picture of it. And you know what? This lady, she didn't even care. Either she was really striking out in the dating pool that year, or this dude was incredibly handsome. The funny thing is, like, from another angle, I wish I had done the other angle, but his girlfriend, who he took on a date, was present, you know, during that. She saw that kiss, and they later on got married. I'm pretty sure she had enough, you know, just bad stuff on him to last him for his entire marriage, you know. But she did say, she goes, I wasn't even that mad about it. You know, it was such a joyous occasion. It just warranted joy, happiness. The war was over. Rejoice. For all you single folks, you grab somebody, you kiss them right now. No, I'm joking. Almost got you single, ladies and gentlemen, a date real quick. But for those who don't know Jesus Christ in here, just know this. There's nothing that you can do. Nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing to reconcile that war, to reconcile that relationship. Nothing. Your righteousness are filthy rags. But Jesus Christ did everything for you. So that war that was between you and God is over. He crushed it. And as the song says, the war is over. If you want it, you're going to have to want it. Today, take possession of your inheritance, which is Jesus Christ, your co-heirs to the throne. All you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is say, God, okay, all right, I give up. I'm going to submit to your pursuit. You did it. Please forgive me of my sins. Please save me. And right there, you do it. The war is over. If you want it, be reminded of that, saints. Walk in victory today. Don't act like you are beat up and it's tough and it's hard or whatever. Have that peace, that irene, that inward tranquility in the midst of chaos. Amen? Everybody, if you can stand. Again, for those who don't know Jesus Christ, the war is over if you want it. Submit to God's pursuit today. Right now, don't wait. Prayer team, if you can come up. You all, we are here for you for prayer. We love you like crazy. Let's just simply put, you all, let's just allow God to love us. Just allow it. Feel it, act like it, amen. Again, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, the time to do it is right now. Come on up. We'd love to introduce you to the person, to the man, the creator of the world who's madly in love with you. Amen.
There is power in the name of Jesus.